This Thursday, on the 4th of July, the United States is going to take a pause from everyday life to celebrate Independence Day. This is a day designed to recall, honor, proclaim, celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence and all that that meant and continues to mean for our country. In life, it's far too easy to get caught up in the distractions, in the busyness of the urgency of the present. We forget to turn our short-sighted attention onto the most important realities outside of ourselves. It's important for us to pause, to recall, to honor, proclaim, and celebrate these things. Like Independence Day, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, things like that. But on the night before he was crucified, in our place, Jesus initiated the most significant and necessary act of remembrance there is, the Lord's Supper. So that night, he took a piece of bread and a cup of wine. And he used those objects to direct his disciples' gaze to himself. He used those objects to remind us of his own body and his own blood, both of which were given for us to reconcile us to God. Jesus, without any sin, he died in the place of sinners who would turn to him in faith. And he gave us a meal as a remembrance. And he declared who we are to remember during that meal. Do you remember what he said? He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus knew that there is one who we must never forget. One who must only and always be present and preeminent in our thoughts and in our actions. It's Jesus himself. And therefore he created a simple act for his followers to continue in until he returns. So we take today a piece of bread and a cup of juice, and we recall, honor, proclaim, and celebrate Jesus. Celebrating the 4th of July without remembering the history which it commemorates would miss the point. All that much more, we must not celebrate the Lord's Supper without remembering the one to whom it points. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, please listen carefully. But know that this time is not for you. Apart from turning from yourself and trusting in Jesus, and only in Jesus and his grace, you have no part in the blessings of which I'm going to talk. Jesus will be your judge, not your Savior. But it's my hope that as you hear of Jesus, you'll desire Jesus. So please don't leave today. Please don't leave without talking to me or anyone around you who you see take the bread and the juice. If you have any questions, I'd love to open up God's word and look for the answers there with you. You must be reconciled to God. If not, your sins remain on you. So please believe, please take communion with us. But if you will not, please let the bread and juice pass. And Christians, let's remember Jesus and proclaim his death together by reminding ourselves of what the Bible says of him. Let's look at Colossians 1:15. It says, "Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were made, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, And in him, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, Jesus has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith. Communion is not a time when we think of ourselves, when we think first of ourselves, first of our sin, first of what we must do, or what we have not done, or even what we have done. Did you hear what Colossians 1:18 said? It said, Jesus must be, he is preeminent. He must be and is first in everything. All this stuff in the world that clamors for our attention, he made it. And best of all, the church, his body that we have been made a part of through his reconciling death, he made this too. And he's our head. We exist by him, and we exist for him. And we must, as we live together as his body in this world, which he made and sustains, we must recognize his preeminence, his first placedness. So let's marvel and worship him as we scratch the surface of remembering who he is. In the beginning, he was. He was with God. He was God. All things were made through him. He continues to sustain them. He upholds the whole universe. He upholds it all by the word of his power. Jesus is God. He deserves all glory. Yet he humbled himself as a slave, dying on the cross. He is and always has been God. And as holy God, he became a sinless man. He was judged as a sinner to righteously reconcile sinful man to holy God. Jesus is perfectly just, and he's righteously merciful. All wisdom and knowledge is his. He created the most complex realities that confound and amaze even the smartest among us. Yet his kingdom belongs to little children. And his gospel, he chooses what is weak and simple to shame the wise. Jesus loves us. He laid down his life for us. In his power and in his wrath, he will judge the world for sin. Yet he is the one who was judged so that we could be presented holy and blameless before him. And in the age to come, in New Jerusalem, as the redeemed enjoy God forever, there will be no need for a son, for the glory of God gives its light. And that lamp, it's Jesus. So how gracious Jesus was to direct us to remember him through the Lord's Supper. There is nothing, there is no one who's more significant. Looking at Jesus in faith, as this remembrance was intended, must and will have sanctifying effects. A right remembrance of Jesus cannot be coupled with unrepentant sin. Remembering Jesus rightly leads us to repentance. When Jesus is the focus, we see our sin for what it is, and by the Spirit we walk in obedience and good works. So now let's remember not our sin, not our good works, but let's pursue righteousness by remembering Jesus rightly. Let's consider some ways to do that. Our anxiety, it becomes peace when we ponder his providential power and provision. Our anger, it turns to love when we're mastered by his patient mercy. Our lust and covetousness becomes contentment when we savor his satisfying sufficiency. Our bitterness, it becomes reconciliation and love when we feel his forgiveness. Our impatience in transient trials turns to joy when we examine his eternal purposes. Our weakness, it becomes our boast when we recognize Jesus' power. Our self-righteousness, it turns to dependent humility when we learn of his holy purity. Our doubt becomes faith when we understand his faithful trustworthiness. And our pride turns to praise when we consider his incomparable character. So as the bread and juice come, let's remember Jesus and proclaim his death for us together. Men, please serve us. And Christians, take communion on your own in remembrance of him.